visiting with us today. We appreciate your being here, and we invite you to come back at every opportunity that you have. And this morning, I'm going to speak on the things that God has to say in His Word about judging. Last week, I had to give up my sister. I preached last Sunday morning after they'd called and told me that she was very seriously ill. But I knew that she would not want me to go up there until I had fulfilled my obligation in teaching and preaching. Got to see her. She got better. And then on Monday afternoon, they brought her back from checking to see whether or not she'd had a stroke and laid her down in her bed. And in 2 or 3 minutes, me standing there by her, she passed away. Now, I'm telling you, folks, she's been in my life all my life. She was 93, would have been 94, September the 28th. And I mean, I have been grieving over this, and so many of you came to the visitation and also to the funeral. And so many of you have sent me cards and different ways of expressing your sympathy for us. And I mean, that means a lot to us. It really does. And I truly, truly want you to know how much I appreciate that. And I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I've called her just about every day for years in the evening. I wouldn't talk sometime but just a few moments. And sometimes we would talk a long time. But we came from 9, and now there's 3. But she was the one that I was so, so close to. And she got what she asked, though, God for. She didn't want to linger, be in a nursing home. She prayed that she wouldn't. She was only in the hospital less than 48 hours. And she quickly went to meet the Lord. Thank you for everything. I know for a surety that God wants you and I to be united together, to love each other, to make sure that we always do everything we possibly can for each other, and be careful. And there is one thing, if I can just get it over to us all this morning, that's so important, is about our judging others. And before you do that, you need to clean up your own house first. That speaks to me. That speaks to every elder, every deacon, every member of the Lord's church. I know that's true. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." You're going to be judged by the way that you judge. That's what he's saying. Harsh, cruel judgment, not for the child of God. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" How many of you have ever sinned? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of you ever publicly sinned? How many of you ever publicly acknowledged your public sin? When it comes down to our relationship with each other, is the sin of our brother so great that you're not as bad? Maybe the consequences. But sin is a transgression of God's law. Listen what he says. So careful. These are the words of the Master. What did Jesus say? "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye,' and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? You can't even see clearly to get it cleared out. Why? Because there's something even greater in your eye. And notice what Jesus calls that person. Thou hypocrite. That's the words of the Master. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Clean up your own house. First, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now in the New King James Version, it uses speck and plank. And then notice what the Bible says here. You can't use harsh judgment, cruel judgment against your brother. You've got to be very careful. And notice in John 7, verse 24, where Jesus says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That means what you say about others has got to be right. That means your attitude must be right. Clean up your own house first. Look at yourself before you try to correct somebody else. Hezekiah was told in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1, get this down, Troy. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's what God told this man. What did he do? He turned to God. He turned his face to the wall. He wept before God. What did the prophet tell him to do? You get your house cleaned up first. And he did. God heard him. Our own forgiveness is dependent upon our forgiveness of others. Thank you so much, Freddie. He, in the end of the prayer this morning, asked God to forgive us as we forgive others. Are you listening? That's exactly what God says. What do you do when you forgive somebody? You wipe it out, you try to do everything you can to have the right attitude. And you cleaning up your house first because, and I've heard people say this, I will never forgive that individual. Forget it, friend. You'll never get to heaven. You can't go to heaven. It's impossible to go to heaven with that attitude. I know that's what the Lord said. What is it that He said? Listen at it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Give us forgiveness as we forgive others. But look what else he said, and you can't misunderstand this, and I can't either. Listen to what he says. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. The dependence upon your forgiveness is your willingness to forgive those who sin against you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, clean up your own house first. What does he say? My Bible reads, is yours different? Jesus said, forgive us, Lord, of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But if you won't do that, God will not forgive your sins, and neither will the Father which is in heaven give you forgiveness. Boy, clean up your own house. How many of you today without sin? And I should say, how many of us are without sin? What kind of sin? Maybe it's not as great in the eyes of the world as others, but if you sinned last week, listen to what the Word of the Lord says about two men that went into the temple to pray. Oh, one of them was a Pharisee. And what did the Pharisees do? He thanked God. Why? Because he really was a good person. What was he doing? Judging this other man. Misjudging him. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner, unjust, adulterer, or even as this publican. Look at it. I'm not like that old fella. I'm not as bad as he is. And he's worse. Worse. Look what he says. Ah, he says, I'm not like them. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, the sinner, standing afar off, he would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, and here's the answer, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you're a sinner, say it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, in your heart. Then what are you going to do? You're going to try to get forgiveness of that sin. You're going to admit it. And the Bible says Jesus gave the answer. Here are these two men, both of them praying, one. Ah, he was such a good fellow, he said. Look what he said. He said, you know what? Here's what I do not do. I do not blackmail, or I don't extort. I am not an unjust individual. I don't engage in adultery. And I'm not even like this publican. There's where his problem. He failed to look at himself as God looked at him. In his eyes, in the eyes maybe of others, he's a great guy. But in God's sight, what was he doing? Well, the Bible tells us clearly that he was thinking himself as being righteous and so much good. And the expression is used by the Lord that this man even despised this old sinner. Just hated him. Friend, let me tell you what. After he said that he fasted twice a week and he gave tithes of all that is possessed, he needed to clean up his own house first. That's where his problem was before judging the publican. Oh, the old publican just stood afar off. He would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, probably ashamed of what he had done. And as he now speaks out to God and he smokes his breath, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't think I'm going to make it if I don't have that attitude to you. Why, when I go to the Word of God and I see that beautiful expression and I find where Jesus said what? Jesus, and the verdict is this. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Wow. And then we have that passage of Scripture that comes face to face, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. And we hear people say it, but my sin is not as bad. Let me tell you again. Clean up your own house first. I've got to do that. You've got to do it. It matters not what the sin may be. Samuel, in 2 Samuel 11, tells about David. Guess what? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. Wasn't that awful? He's a king. Can you imagine a king doing that? Looking upon another woman and even taking her, who she is another man's wife, laying with her. Nathan the prophet had to come and tell David of what his sin was, that he was guilty of it. And he gave him the story about a man that was rich who had all kinds of ewe lambs in his flock, but the poor man who only had one, the rich man took the poor man's, and guess what? David finally was so mad at that man. Can you imagine somebody criticizing somebody else that is as bad or maybe even worse? And David is the very man that's doing it. What has he done? He has committed adultery. He puts Uriah the Hittite, told Joab, put him to the front of the battle and withdraw from him and let him be killed. Question, can you imagine a man doing something like that, being a king? But David did it. And when Nathan told him, and David's so mad, and he said, the man that has done this thing took that poor man's land. The man that's done this thing, he shall surely, what? Restore to him fourfold. He's mad. And David looked and points his finger right at him. And David said, you're the man. Thou art the man. What did David have to do to get rid of that sin? Oh, he had to tell all that happened that night with Bathsheba. He had to tell all about the happen, about him killing or having Uriah the Hittite killed. No. What did he do? He said, I have sinned. Period. Why didn't he tell everything about it? Don't we have to confess every sin in detail? I had a preacher one time that said, when you make a confession, you make sure that you confess every sin that you're confessing. In other words, everything there. But, and I asked him afterwards, I said, all right, what if you forget one in the morning and you make confession? Do you have to go back that night again to ask for forgiveness? You know and I know what God said. David had to clean up his own house first, and he did. And he said, I have sinned. Oh, there was a man that was living with his father's wife in the New Testament. Can you imagine a man who was a Christian living with his father's wife? What would you say about a man in this congregation who would be living with his father's wife? Well, we would be just couldn't believe it. Paul writes to him. They were to put away that man. And they did. And guess what that man did? He repented. He cleaned up his house. He quit living with that woman. And you know what Paul does? He writes in 2 Corinthians 2. And he says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. To this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. In other words, I've forgiven him because Christ has forgiven him. How am I supposed to handle this person? Forgive him. If he says, I'm sorry. If he said, I've done wrong. And then he quits it. Does he have to live a certain amount of time on probation before you forgive him? Paul had to write to these brethren. And he said sufficient was the punishment that was meted out to him. Can you imagine? I can't imagine being a daddy. And my son doing something wrong. And him coming to me and said, Daddy, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Daddy, will you please forgive me? And I would say to him, no, sir, I'm not going to forgive you. You shouldn't have done it. You've hurt me. Everything that you've done has been contrary to the things that I've advocated and tried to live by. And I'll not give you any forgiveness. And there have been parents that have done that with their children to later on regret when their children suddenly die that they didn't forgive them. Do you have to have all these things happen to us if only we just remember what Jesus said? If a person is sorry and they repent and they quit, they've cleaned up their house. You clean up yours. Because you see, we won't forget. Now, here's a statement that I want you to think about clearly. When you look down on others, you put yourself on a pedestal. Take heed lest you fall. How much have some fallen? The woman was taken the very act of adultery. There was no question about her sin. Jesus was not upholding her for what she did wrong. But these people brought her. They didn't clean up their house first. And they said, this woman's been taken the very act of adultery. What shall we do to her? And Jesus said, those of you who are without sin, here, take the first stone, cast it to her at her. What did they do? You know and I know. From the oldest to the youngest, every one of them left. There wasn't a single one of them that could pick up that stone and cast it at that woman who was an adulteress, who had committed adultery. There was no question about it. And Jesus, after he had written in the sand, looked up and said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "There are none." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and don't ever do it again. Go and sin not." Remember Simon? When Peter and John came down from Jerusalem, they performed ceremony. Simon, who had been baptized, verse 13 of Acts chapter 8, the Bible tells us that he offered Peter and the others money so that he might perform those same kind of miracles. And what does the Bible say that Peter said to him? "Your money perish with thee, for you have thought that you could buy the gift of God with money. I perceive that thou art the God of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." And what did Simon then say to Peter? Oh, he wanted forgiveness. He said, "Simon, pray to God for me that none of these things shall come upon me." We want to clean up our house first. How do we get rid of our sins? Well, you ever lied? Truthful with yourself. You ever lied about being sick and you didn't go to work? You told a lie? Would that be very public? Who all would know about that? How many times have you done it? Was it very important? Ever miss worship when you could have been present? And you make every excuse in the book, but you just didn't go, though you could have gone? Is that very public? I had a man up in Virginia when I was for a meeting. He came to me and said, "I need to talk to you bad." You know what he had done? 15 years beforehand, he had set his own house afire. And now then, he wants to know what he needs to do to get right with God. Everybody guilty of speeding? Is that breaking the law? Everybody didn't see it? Do we laugh about it, cut up about it because we all do it? Is it a serious thing? You ever done it? Have you ever been guilty of gossiping? And you just tattle about something and find out later on that everything that you told somebody else or that they told you was not true? What did you do? Did you quit? Did you tell somebody else? Or did you just say, "Well, everybody does that"? You ever said a curse word before your own family, before others, and they hear you, a Christian, at work, at play, wherever? You ever done that? Is that very serious? You ever watched an R-rated movie that has cursing and swearing and nudity in it? Others see or heard by what you did? Is that a very serious charge against you? Don't we need to clean up our own house first? We need to get right. Get right with God. Some have never come forward one time and admitted all their public sins. And even complain sometimes because others come frequently. If you don't forgive, you will never be forgiven. And I say words from Jesus. In James chapter 5, verse 16. James says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another." But somebody says, "I don't have any faults, so I don't have to..." That's exactly what that Pharisee did. That's exactly what was wrong with him. But James says, confess your faults. Who? Those who are children of God. What are you to do with it? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervor of a righteous man availeth much. The other day when I called Forrest Summers that my sister had died, guess where he was? He was on an airplane flying out to Utah. I asked you if he'd wanted them to make confession to folk. Could he have told me? I could have told you. Friends, what I'm saying to us today, we need to clean up our own house first and make sure we're right. And then, as we confess our sins, we can surely forgive those who sin against us. You can't die right if you don't live right. And I'll tell you what, if you don't live but 2 or 3 minutes, as my sister did, you don't have much time to do anything. You don't live right, then you don't do right, and you won't die right. I had all these Paul, Simon, Peter, the apostle. Here's what a person needs to do who's not a Christian. You can't get in the kingdom of God without it. Hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Jesus, and being baptized and living faithfully in the service of the Lord. Here's what a person needs to do, sin, and no others know about it. Yes, admit it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and repentance. Stop it. Don't do it again. Ask God to forgive you. And then pray and ask His forgiveness, as James tells us. There was a song that I conclude this message with this morning in our hymn book, and I want to read you these words. And I want you to think about it. We're of the family of God. We need each other. So many of us have all different kinds of problems. What are we going to do to try to help people get up and return and be right with God? The song is entitled, God's Family. It says, we're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end, for Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now, we're all the part of the family of God. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory through His precious name. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city, just thank being with the very people that we serve God with forever. And listen to Him. Inside the city as we enter therein, there'll be no more parting than which Jesus will be together, together forever. As God's family, sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it would be. Ah, when we all get to heaven, God's precious family. Boy, I remember the last time I talked to my sister. Never realized it would be the last until I'd see her where she couldn't understand what I was saying to her when I was kissing her forehead, touching her and telling her how much I loved her. And then she got better in the morning. And I just thought, sure, she's going to come out of that thing. 93 years old. Never realizing just a few hours later, I'd have to say goodbye. Friend, you mean a lot to one another because we're the family of God, everybody here. If I'm wrong, please tell me. If I've done something to hurt you, let me know. I guarantee if I know my heart, I will tell you I'm sorry because I want more than anything in the world now, to be with the family of God who will be forever with Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, become one. And if you're a child of God and your house is not what it ought to be, clean it up. Ask God to ask His forgiveness. And let us all walk together, serving the Lord together and working that we may serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who can save all of us when we do His precious will. If you're subject to His invitation anyway, won't you come today as we stand in that?